From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, I'm Paris Alston. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where law firm Nixon Peabody has built a national reputation for advocating to preserve low-income housing. The firm has represented everyone from churches and nonprofits to developers and housing authorities. But now they're also working for the other side, investors, who are challenging long-accepted terms in a taxpayer-backed program to finance affordable housing. WBUR senior investigative reporter Beth Healy has been looking into this, and she joins us now. Hey, Beth, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Paris, thanks for having me.
So this sounds like a pretty sticky situation for Nixon Peabody. What is this program that their clients are fighting about?
So this is a federal program to finance affordable housing, and it worked pretty well for a few decades. Congress set it up so that banks and investors would get tax breaks in exchange for financing affordable housing. And after 15 years of a partnership, the investors were supposed to go away, happy with their tax breaks. And the nonprofit would get the chance to buy the property at a low price. But in recent years, what's happening is some of the investors are starting to want more money on the way out the door.
I see. So isn't it kind of weird that Nixon Peabody has represented both sides in this dispute?
Well, it's complicated. And of course, it's important to remember that as a law firm, you can't represent both sides in a single case, but they do have clients on both sides of the issue. So Nixon Peabody has all kinds of clients in the world of affordable housing, as you noted, from nonprofit developers to the investors that put money into these deals. What's new is that some of these investors have become much more aggressive, and Nixon Peabody is representing them in big federal cases that could hurt nonprofits.
So it sounds like they want to have their cake and eat it, too.
It's not uncommon to see law firms taking opposing sides of issues, but this one is extremely unpopular with Nixon Peabody's affordable housing clients. The firm declined to comment for this story, but here's Lewis Dolan. He's one of the firm's partners in federal appeals court in Boston over the summer. He's arguing that a Boston nonprofit breached its contract with his client by trying to buy the low-income buildings that it's managed for decades.
We are absolutely saying that they violated their contractual and fiduciary duties. We are also saying that they violated their statutory duties.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty serious accusation. So what's at stake in this litigation?
If these cases are successful, they could set precedents that could hurt nonprofits by allowing investors to force sales of properties or demand cash on the way out the door, essentially grabbing assets that were meant to stay in housing for the long term. In the Boston case, it's a Denver firm called Alden Torch Financial trying to stop a group in the South End called Tenants Development Corporation from buying 36 buildings. Efforts are underway in Congress to clarify the law and stop these disputes. There are measures in the big budget bills going through the House and Senate, but firms like Alden Torch are lobbying pretty hard against them.
And Beth, why are these investors refusing to move on after reaping the tax benefits? I mean, doesn't that sort of defeat the purpose of low-income housing in the first place?
Well, there's some fuzzy language in these contracts based on that law that was written 30 years ago. Everybody used to understand how it was supposed to work, that the nonprofits were supposed to get this chance to buy the buildings after year 15. But these investors are taking advantage of the fuzzy language and challenging Congress's intent.
Okay, so for the thousands of low-income residents around the country, how does the future of their homes hinge on this legal battle that's playing out in the courts?
If Nixon Peabody wins these cases for the investors in federal courts, that could mean low-income properties run by nonprofits that are using these tax credits in cities around the country could also face challenges. Most states and cities have rules. The housing has to stay affordable for a total of at least 30 years, and sometimes more, but time goes by faster than you think. For many people, this is their home, right? They might have children, they might be older, and moving is hard. They weren't planning to have to move out in 10 years for someone's real estate deal.
Yeah, I can't imagine. And depending on the outcome, Beth, what'll all this mean for Nixon Peabody's reputation?
Here's what Robert Rosen said. He helped write the tax credit law back in the 1980s.
If it hasn't already, it's got to affect their business. And that's a big business for Nixon Peabody.
Well, only time will tell.
Well, I do know from the reporting that this is the subject of a lot of talk in affordable housing circles. So We'll see how Nixon Peabody reacts in the long run.
All right, that's WBUR senior investigative reporter Beth Healy. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Before we go, I should tell you what else is up. The mayor of Revere is criticizing Boston officials over a plan to move homeless people along Mass and Cass into a hotel in his city. Mayor Brian Arrigo has written to the Boston Public Health Commission after hearing about the plan indirectly. He's also requesting a meeting with acting Boston Mayor Kim Janey. Arrigo says he's frustrated with the lack of communication.
What's being played out by the Boston Public Health Commission is not how regional collaboration works.
The city of Boston has released a statement inviting Arrigo and other mayors to join Janey in her efforts to address the needs of those suffering from mental health challenges and substance use disorder across the Commonwealth. In other news, UMass Medical School has put a new ombudsman on leave amid inquiries into a wrongful death suit seemingly brought against him. Seth Peters was originally hired to oversee COVID-19 mitigation in state prisons. The lawsuit claims that an EMT by the name of Seth Peters falsified records related to making a man suffering from a heart attack walk down 3 flights of stairs. The man later died. Liz Matos is head of Prisoners Legal Services of Massachusetts. She says the ombudsman position is crucial to keeping inmates safe from COVID.
I am glad that they decided to put him on administrative leave. However, also dismayed at the fact that he was obviously not properly vetted to begin with.
UMass Medical School says it does not comment on personnel matters. And finally, autumn is officially here. Summer came to a close at about 3:20 this afternoon, which means it's foliage season in New England. Vermont Forest Parks and Recreation Commissioner Mike Snyder says the trees in his state are primed for viewing over the next 6 to 8 weeks.
We have the highest proportion of maples. They are known year in, year out as the real show stealers. They have particularly the red maples that go just brilliant red, sugar maples that do yellow, orange, and red.
Snyder says that in his humble opinion, Vermont has the best color palette of all the New England states. Do you agree? Where's your favorite place to go see the autumn colors? Shoot me a text at 617-272-7346. That's 617-272-7346. From the newsrooms of WBUR and GBH, the greatest combo since fall foliage and a warm apple cider donut. I'm Paris Alston. Be well. Hey, there's another show here at WBUR that's very dear to my heart. And why is that, you ask? Well, because I used to work on it. That show is WBUR's Radio Boston, our local daily news magazine, and it's another way to get a whole bunch of information about what's happening in our city and our region every day. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.